Hey folks, it's Jeremy, and this is an Every Other Friday, so you know what that means. There's another patron-exclusive episode up on Patreon. This episode, we focus on Scott Pilgrim versus the World in honor of the game's 10th anniversary, the movie's 10th anniversary, and the fact that the game was reissued after many years of languishing in rights hell. We have a lot to say about the game, and the movie, and of course, the comics that inspired it all, and how they all tie into the history of video games. This episode, like every other Friday episode, is exclusive to our $5 patrons. You can check that out at patreon.com/retronauts, subscribe to us for $5 a month or more, and you'll have access not only to this episode, but the other, like, 30 or 40 episodes that we've published exclusively for patrons, plus something like a year and a half's worth of columns and podcasts created exclusively for patrons every weekend by Diamond Fight. But you've heard this sales pitch before, so rather than belabor the point, I'm just going to say, please subscribe to the show. It's an entirely listener-funded adventure. And enjoy this preview of the full episode. Again, that's patreon.com/retronauts. Take it away, sex bob-omb. So Scott Pilgrim began as a graphic novel in 2004. That was when Oni Press published the first volume. And, you know, I don't think there were huge expectations for that. O'Malley has said he expected it to sell. He hoped it would sell like 1,000 copies. At this point, more than a million volumes of Scott Pilgrim books have been published. So I would say, you know, it took on a life of its own and became much bigger than he ever expected or intended or hoped. Which, you know, that's a rare kind of breakout success. But again, I think it's a case of a time and place where it just happened to be something so different, but at the same time really captured a lot of things that were kind of, you know, really kind of bubbling beneath the surface of pop culture and, you know, especially on the internet. Like, I don't know about you guys, but I definitely feel like a certain kinship with the original work here, just because I feel like Brian Lee O'Malley and I come from somewhat similar backgrounds. I mean, he's a half Korean Canadian, so that's not similar for me, a white American. But at the same time, like, I you know, having read interviews with him, read his work, interviewed him myself, like, we share a lot of formative experiences playing NES games growing up, you know, getting into manga and anime in the mid-90s, especially with like stuff like Ranma One Half, Neon Genesis Evangelion, you know, just kind of that whole splinter of nerddom that, speaking for myself growing up in that era with my interests and tastes, I tended to feel kind of isolated. And like, you know, I had friends who liked some of the stuff I liked, but they kind of drifted away over time. And, you know, I still enjoyed these things, and it just always felt like I don't really have anyone to share this with. And so reading a book like this, you know, it kind of reflected the internet communities that I found, where I was like, oh, there's, there are a lot of people out there who enjoy this stuff. And here is a work that kind of channels that in a way that I find really relatable. And it's also, you know, a character-driven story with a lot of goofy action and just, you know, crosses over into a lot of different genres that I enjoy. And doesn't take itself too seriously, but still isn't just like completely ridiculous. It just really kind of hit all the right notes at a great time.
I think it sort of, I came into it sort of by osmosis in a way, because I didn't have this experience, because they're not going to make a comic about some guy playing the Spectrum. It's not going to happen. So I sort of came into it through, like you said, the sort of the communities, the online communities, that you'd quickly find this sort of shared experience of what people were playing and, you know, doing and listening to. But the way that it does integrate those experiences, one of the things that I think makes the comic work more than really most of the other media based on Scott Pilgrim is it doesn't feel crowbarred in to go, look what I've heard of, if that makes sense. Like, I know this. It's very like understated in a way. And like in the first volume, it's such a small thing, but they play a song called Launchpad McQuack. And I remember seeing that and just kind of being like, that's a really odd cut to throw in there. Like, but it sort of makes sense. You know, I don't know how to explain exactly what I'm getting at, to be honest, but
yeah,
you know, I mean, it's like kind of, it rings true. It doesn't feel like they're trying to capture any kind of, I don't know, zeitgeist. Is that the word? Like in the movie, I felt like a lot of the video game stuff was just there to go, oh, I remember that.
Yeah. But
in this, it feels like it's part of the sort of texture of the characters' lives,
right.
which really works.
Yes. Aaron, I think you were going to say something, or maybe JP.
I will say something. I think it's hard to talk about Scott Pilgrim without getting personal about it. At least it is for me, because just like you said, it wraps up a certain period of pop culture and nostalgia. And it felt in a way almost transgressive at the time. Like, is it really okay for media to be talking about other media? Like, clearly now it's, no one has any problem at all with having video games be the basis of another media property.
At this point, media no longer has anything to say itself. It's just like, hey, let's talk about other media.
Right. And it sort of slots in there with something like a Clerks of independent film, where it was mm-hmm. a movie about talking about other movies. But it just, the next generation's version of that.
Yeah. It's kind of like you said, you know, it's hard to talk about without it being like, I mean, it's always, you know, no matter what media you're talking about, it's going to be colored by your own experiences. But like, this was something that I, at the time, like, I don't know about y'all, but like, I heavily related to Scott. And it took me a while to realize how bad that was. But yeah, I was at the time of reading it, I was a early 20s, jobless, selfish, obsessed with retro games. And like, all my friends would be out doing, you know, actual stuff with their life. And like me, I would, you know, to quote Scott, I would be like, oh, I learned the bass line from the Final Fantasy II. It's like, yeah, you know, that's the kind of stuff I was doing. And so I was like, oh, cool, this is a comic story about me. And then like, the more I read it, and then I would go back and read the earlier ones, and I'm like, I'm kind of a shithead. I'm kind of a loser.